Welcome to tonight's political forum on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5 FM.
Good evening. I'm Chris Oakes, WFIN and the Findlay-Hancock County Chamber of Commerce welcome you to tonight's candidate forum featuring the two individuals vying for the 83rd district seat in the Ohio House of Representatives. They are Republican Ty Matthews and Democrat Sheila Caressel. Welcome to you both and thank you for your time this evening. Want to also recognize Dion Neubauer, the Chamber of Commerce, who is with us this evening, and Carolyn Kopas, I saw a little bit earlier, and she's sure she's wandering around here from 50 North, and we thank 50 North for hosting our forum this evening. As is customary for these events, each candidate will be allotted 2 minutes for responses to each question. Follow-up questions or further discussion between the candidates will be allotted 1 minute of time, and we will begin with 2 minutes each for opening remarks, and we will begin with Mr. Matthews.
Good evening. Just wanted to start off and say thank you to all the audience here and anyone that's listening on the radio, online. Thank you for being involved in the political process. It's a crazy year. I think we're all about almost tired of politics, right? I just wanted to say thank you for being engaged, though. This is where we can start building bridges within the community. And thank you, 50 North, for hosting this event, allowing all of us to get together in the same room, Democrat and Republican, to talk about the issues, tough issues, and try to find common ground and ways that we can move the needle forward on these issues. I want to say thank you to Chris Oakes and WFIN for also hosting this and allowing us to have a platform, allowing you all to know why and who you will vote for. And finally, I just want to say thank you. It's probably not the most popular thing to do in politics today, but I just want to say thank you to you, Sheila. Thank you for being part of the political process. Thank you for competition. I'm a free market loving Republican. Competition breeds excellence, and thank you for that competition. And my hope for tonight is that even though we are Democrats and Republicans in this room, maybe a couple independents out there, that we up here can show you that politics does not have to be divisive, that we can engage in civil dialogue and discourse, we can have disagreements, but we hope we can find common ground where we can move the needle forward on issues that we truly care about as a community. That everyone in this room here tonight, we're Americans. Above all else, we are Americans that love our community. And that is why we're here tonight. And my hope is that tonight we can start building bridges between party lines. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Caressa.
Yes. I think I may need to bring that a little further. So thank you to Chris and WFIN and the Chamber for hosting tonight's event here at 50 North. I also want to thank everyone here and everyone listening at home. Let me tell you a little bit myself. I grew up on our family farm outside of Defiance, Ohio. The same farm my grandfather built. The farm my dad grew up on and where my mom still lives today. After retirement, my dad retired from the electrical maintenance union member at an auto factory in Archibald, and my mom as a small claims clerk from the Defiance City Municipal Courts. I'm the first of my family to go to college. While earning my degree in accounting from the University of Akron, I realized that my passion was actually working with college students. And so I pursued my career in higher education. And over the past 24 years, I have learned the importance of collaborating and compromising with everyone for the betterment of those individuals. In 2019, I was elected to serve on the Ada Village Council, and I was re-elected in 2023. And I serve as the council member to our Ada Liberty Township Ambulance Board. And what I can tell you as your state representative, I will be your voice in Columbus. I am committed to listening to your concerns and seeing what I can do to help you at the State House. I am committed to those concerns and moving them forward. I believe that my role as a local government official and as a college administrator has prepared me to work for you at the State House and with the representatives, no matter the party, to build a better Ohio together. Thank you.
That's actually where we'll begin to kind of build on something that Ms. Caruso was mentioning. As you said, you currently serve on the Ada Village Council. Mr. Matthews has not held public office before, so for either of you, this would be a big step to a state office position. I want to ask and have you expand on why you believe you are ready for the challenges and the rigors of this office, and we'll begin with Ms. Caruso.
So as I've mentioned, I have 24 years of experience working in higher education. And if you know anything about working in colleges, working in education, there's a lot of committee work that is involved. And with committee work, you can't just bulldoze your ideas. You have to collaborate with each other. And that's what I do on a daily basis when I'm in committees, when I'm working with college students, when I'm working with faculty members. And when I was thinking about what my next step was, and I was thinking about the state representative role, I realized that that experience of working in higher education and my experience of being on Ada Village Council and being reelected and serving on the Ada Liberty Township Ambulance Board all prepared me with the qualifications and the skills to go to the State House. I value, so much do I value, listening. I'm sure that there's been times in which you don't feel listened to and you get frustrated, right? I'm in that same case. When I don't feel listened to, things go off the rails, so to speak. Not really, but that's the case. And I want to be that person to listen to you because I know the value of listening and being empathetic. And I feel that those skills will prepare me to be at the State House and to be your voice there and to help you and benefit you there. Thank you.
And Mr. Matthews.
The last 10 years of my life, I've dedicated serving this country and this community. First serving and working in the State Treasurer's Office with Robert Sprague, and then in the Ohio Army National Guard. I first enlisted as a chaplain assistant where I had a calling and wanted to exercise both my calling to my faith and to my country, and that is why I chose to be a chaplain assistant. After graduating from Cedarville University, a small Christian college near Dayton, I commissioned as a second lieutenant in the infantry. That is by far the most impactful decision I've made in my life when it comes to professional development. About a year and a half ago, I returned from a deployment from Iraq, where I operated as a battle captain at Forward Operating Base Union 3 in Iraq. Through my time as an officer in the infantry, I have learned to be a leader. And that word means a lot of things to a lot of people, but I'll tell you what leader means to me. I take the philosophy of servant leadership. That means serving you. And that's what I hope to do in Columbus, is to be the voice for our community, our shared values of a community, and fight for you in Columbus. Thank you.
Let's get into some of the issues that will define the next term for the state legislature. The top item on the agenda for the next session will be the adoption of a new state budget. How personally will you approach that process, and what would your priorities be as those decisions are made? And we'll begin with Mr. Matthews.
Very personally, I've actually started studying up on this and have spent time in Columbus looking at the current projections of the state budget, and I tell you what, it's not looking good. We're going to have to start cutting some pennies here, and I've always been an advocate of that. Government spending equals inflation, and we all feel inflation right now. So in the budget process, we really need to look at what is the purpose of government and what is the government here to do. And again, I believe the spending is out of control. Also looking towards different ways we can incentivize certain businesses in our community. I'm proud to hopefully present here in the next upcoming week one of my initiatives, the Ohio Defense Initiative. And that's going to be a targeted effort to attract new industry into Northwest Ohio that is going to be circulated around and focused on the defense aspect of the military, looking at private defense, but also maybe getting some military installations here in Northwest Ohio. Looking forward to working on that and seeing what we can bring back here to our community. I've also been talking to community leaders, community advocates on what we need here in the 83rd District. And that next budget, I look forward to even working with 50 North if they have a project coming up. Whatever projects that are on the horizon, I will be our advocate in Columbus fighting for. But at the same time, we need to be fiscally responsible and look at what we are doing to our nation's future, and we're not just passing the buck down the road. Thank you.
Ms. Carissa.
Could you repeat the question again?
The top item on the agenda for the next session of the legislature will be the adoption of a new state operating budget. How personally will you approach that process, and what will your priorities be as those decisions are made?
So first and foremost, the way that I would approach that is to really delve into that budget. As I mentioned, I did get a degree in accounting, and although I don't actively pursue that at the moment, there is still the background of balancing and balance statements and income statements and debits and credits. And so I will make myself as familiar as possible with that budget. I will rely on experts that are knowledgeable with it to help me understand it. I will work with community members to see how the budget connects with them. And yes, we definitely need to make sure our budget is balanced. That is something that is ingrained with me, even in my own personal budget, is to make sure that I am not spending more than I'm able to cover. And that is the same thing with our state budget. I will work with community members, with community advocates, to see how we can support the members of the 83rd District. How can we support our local small businesses at the state level to provide them the support that they need? And yes, we do need to be good stewards of all of our dollars. And that is important to be fiscally responsible. And I will spend time making sure that I understand that and support the best services possible for all involved in the 83rd. Thank you.
Since we're on the subject of the state budget, obviously the funds for any state spending have to come from somewhere. And currently the primary vehicle for state funding is the income tax. Now, earlier this year, a bill was introduced in the Senate that would phase out the state income tax over a period of 10 years. Although this bill remains in committee in the Senate and has not yet been introduced in the House, it is an idea that has been floated many times. Is this something that you would support, and why or why not? And we'll begin with Ms. Caressel.
So in theory, yeah, it would be great to get rid of the state income tax, right? Who wants to be taxed all the time? However, my question is, if we get rid of it, what services are we going to get rid of? How do we pay for those services if we don't have that funding? And if we don't get rid of the services, then how are we going to fund them? And I think we really need to look more deeply on what is the better way to move forward with this. An income tax is a progressive tax. And what that means is those that are able to pay for that tax do. Those that earn quite a bit of money. And those that aren't able to cover that, those that earn less, pay less. And if we decide to move away from that income tax, how else are we going to pay for those services that we provide? Because if we move towards more flat-based tax rates, which is like our sales tax or toll roads, those affect those that make lower income more than those that make higher. So let's just take an example. An income sales tax of 5.75%, right? For someone who's making $30,000, that's a large amount. Compared to someone who makes $130,000, that is a smaller percentage. And we are still affecting those that need those services the most. And so no, I do not support the removal in the next 10 years of an income tax. But can we look at it a little differently? Yes, and that's what I would support.
Mr. Matthews.
Yeah, I'll be fairly concise on this. I would support the phasing out of an income tax over a period of time. You can't just do that in 1 year, right? It would have to be a phase out. I believe that your tax dollars are better spent in your pocket and staying in your pocket, and that eliminating a income tax actually makes us more competitive as a state and a community, not just to attract more people to live here, but also businesses.
Very good. For the past 10 years, long where the topic of economic development has been brought up, and I believe, Mr. Matthews, you mentioned this earlier, for the past 10 years, Findlay has been ranked in the top micropolitan community in America. What can the state do to ensure that the 83rd District continues to be a leader in economic development? We'll begin with you, Mr. Matthews.
Yeah, this is going to be my main priority entering the State House is economic development and looking at it through a different lens. Now, Findlay, we are very blessed to live in Findlay in the 83rd District. A lot of great companies, but, you know, let's say a recession hits, you know, a few of our major companies here, they struggle. What are we going to really fall back on? And what I'm presenting is the Ohio Defense Initiative, and that's looking at bringing in new, diverse companies into this area, untapped. Northwest Ohio, out of the whole entire economy of our region, only 2% of it is defense. You look across the state, 6% of defense is our economy here in Ohio, and we have such a great infrastructure with defense. When you look at Wright-Patterson, we have NASA up on the lake. In Toledo, we have an Air National Guard base. There is a ripe field to attract businesses here, and that is my plan, and I'm more than happy to maybe hop on your show later on, Chris, and talk about the ins and outs of how that would work and how we would try to encourage financing and, you know, looking at current companies in this area that are excelling in developing tech. This is something that I've talked about in Columbus, and it's gaining a lot of momentum, and it's exactly what the 83rd District needs to not just be a one business town, but have a diversity, a diverse portfolio of companies that not only benefit the community, but benefit the universities around us. Thank you.
Ms. Caressa.
So one of the things that we've covered in my role is on the ADA Council is ways to bring economic development to ADA. And we have provided incentives for companies to come, but there's also been challenges in regards to road infrastructure to get companies to this area. And so I think one of the first things that is needed is to determine how can we provide that infrastructure so that those larger companies can build here. We do have incentives already for businesses to come build. There are deferments in regards to taxes, reduce taxes, all of that type of stuff. But sometimes there's a limit to that. And a lot of times it is road infrastructure. And the one thing that pops to mind is back in April, what happened in April? We had an eclipse. And who remembers where that pinnacle place was going to be? It was going to be in Forest, Ohio. We were all planning on having NASA and everyone come to Forest. However, they changed it. They moved it to Cleveland. You don't want to know why? Because of infrastructure, because there wasn't enough roads to supply all of that. And so we need to work on how do we make those roads better here so that we can bring in more businesses here, so that we can provide that work base for our residents, and to make it more easily accessible. We have residents here who can't find jobs because they don't have transportation to those jobs. And so how do we also help those community members get to those jobs that they want to take, but they don't have transportation to do it? And I think all of that falls into economic development that we can support at the state level. Thank you.